leave. Les, when he seen me outside, said where history is being made today, that him and I are both speaking at the same time. When I came to church, he didn't have gray hair. I think he's about the age of my daughter. But something worse than that, at lunch today, I told somebody I graduated from high school in 1948. And the lady sat beside me said, that's a year before I was born. And I said, thanks a lot, you know. So time marches on, and I remember Les from many years ago, and it's a pleasure to speak with him. Now, my question is, why does God permit Satan to tempt us? Why did God leave Satan in the Garden of Eden? God calls Satan the prince of the power of the air in Ephesians 2:2. And he also says he's the ruler of the world in Matthew 4:8 and 9, which I will cover in a little bit. But he also tells us in 2 Corinthians 4:4, to whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto him. That Satan is the God of this world. Now, why does God allow this condition to exist? Satan actually controls and affects this world's society, its economic, its politics, and even its religion. And the kingdoms of this world belongs to him at this time. Turn to Matthew 4. And this, and in verse 1, then was Jesus led up in the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. So God is letting Satan tempt Jesus. And then in verse 8, again the devil taking him up into an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of this world and the glory of them. And he said unto Jesus, all these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship. Satan, here in your Bible, said he has control over all the kingdoms of this world. And he will give them to Jesus right now. See, Jesus don't have to go through all the suffering. He was really tempted. You're going to be king over all the nations. I'll give them to you right now. You won't have to suffer and go through all of that. But then Jesus said unto them, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shall you serve. So it shows that Satan is in control of this world. There's one great question that's in most of the human minds. I had a bookkeeper, and one day he asked, he knew I was religious, and he looked across the street, and there was a Nazarene church, and there's a big picture of Jesus there. And he said, well, if there is a God, why is that guy letting all the trouble go on? Now, that guy's dead right now. He would really ask that question today. All you have to do is watch the news and see all the problems that's going on in this world, and how Satan is in charge of it. Now, since God is the supreme ruler over the earth, let's turn to Isaiah 40, in verse 15. God says, behold, the nations are just a drop in a bucket, and now counted as a small dust of the balance, so it's nothing. In verse 17, all nations before him are as nothing. And they are counted to him less than nothing and in vanity. Now, if God has this supreme power over everything, why does God allow such a state of confusion to exist on earth between his supreme rule and letting Satan rule? Now, to answer this question, we first have to understand what God's great purpose is. What is God wanting to accomplish? How is he going to do it? What does Satan have to do with this purpose? Now, go back 2 weeks, and Carl Rothenbacher gave a sermon 2 weeks ago, and he covered God's purpose for creating mankind. Go back and listen to that. That was a very, very good sermon, and I thought he was giving mine. But he isn't, because mine is, why is God allowing all this? What is his purpose? God is doing it. He's creating this purpose, but mankind, by letting man go his own way for 6,000 years, God has let man go his own way. Letting Satan tempt him, man had learned his ways, and Satan's ways are not beneficial. If you look back at history, you can see that nothing happened that was really beneficial. Satan's way are not beneficial, and the world is learning every day what the penalties of breaking God's laws are. It's written in history, it's written in mankind, and it's been written today. But first, what is God wanting to accomplish? What is God's SPS? Now, anybody that's been in Spokesman's Club knows that stands for a specific purpose statement. Now, we are taught in the Spokesman Club, which I attended for years. I was in Indianapolis, and then the Muncie Church started, and then I went through that Spokesman Club, and I've been through it a few hundred times. But in the Spokesman Club, we're taught to give an introduction. You introduce it. Then you give your SPS. Tell them what the specific subject is. And then you have three or more points in a 12-minute speech to give the body. Then you give the conclusion, and you tell them what you told them, so they will understand what the subject is about. Now, God tells us in two places what his specific perfect statement is. John 1:1 and Genesis 1. Turn to John 1:1 and let's see what God says his statement is. A little introduction. He'll give you a little introduction. Then he tells you what your specific perfect statement is. Verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So we have two entities there. The same was with the beginning with God. All things were made by him. Now, I was in the church. I was a Christian from the time I was 19 until I was 35 years old, and I never knew that Jesus created everything. I read this book, but I didn't know it. It says that without him, he's the second interest, was not anything made that was made. To him was life, and the life was the light of man. So Jesus is the life. In verse 5, and the light shineth in darkness, but the darkness comprehended not. So the world doesn't comprehend. They don't know the real Jesus. The light shines, but they don't know and they don't understand him. Now, we go to verse 10. He was in the world, and the world was made by him. Again, three times here we say the world is made by Jesus Christ, and yet the world doesn't know it, doesn't understand it. I was always told it was made by God the Father, and he was a mean old man, and then Jesus come along, and he was a nice fellow. But here it says in verse 10, he was in the world, and the world was made by him, but the world doesn't know him now. He came into his own, and his own received him not. So he came into the Jews, and they didn't receive him either. But as many as received him, he gave them power to become the sons of God. I'm going to go back a little bit. They don't know Jesus. They know the Jesus that was, they don't know the one that was in the grave 3 days and three nights. They know the one that was Friday to Sunday. They don't know the one that was resurrected on Saturday. They know the one that's resurrected on Sunday. So there's not the same Jesus. But in verse 11, he said they came to his own. But verse 12 is the SPS that we have here. And let me get it. Turn away from it. Verse 12. But as many as received him, he gave them power to become sons of God. There's his SPS. Even to them that believe on his name. So you have to believe on him, but when you read the rest of the book, not just the SPS, you read the rest of the body, he tells it requires more than just believing. It requires repentance and believing in the kingdom of God. Now turn to Mark 1 and chapter 1. Mark chapter 1. I got it marked. You'd think I could find it quicker than that, wouldn't you? But I'm glad that Mark made a boo-boo up here. So when young people make a boo-boo, when I make it, it's senile. When you make it, it's a mistake. So it's nice to see young people make mistakes and become senile at a young life. And I like Mark. Mark 1, verse 14 and 15. Now after John was put into prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. Verse 15, and saying, the time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand, repent and believe the gospel. So there's two things you have to do. You have to believe, repent of your sins. Now you have to know what sin is. The world does not know what sin is. And they don't know what the gospel of the kingdom of God is. I always thought the Bible said the kingdom of God is within you. And you young people have an advantage if you're being taught what the kingdom of God is now. But you have to believe the gospel of the kingdom of God. Again, from the time I was in church, Methodist church, from the time I was 19 to 35, I didn't know what the kingdom of God was. I just thought you died and you went to heaven. So you have to know that it's Christ coming and setting up his kingdom. Now, his SPS, you are going to become a son of God. How is he doing this? How is he making us sons of God? Turn to Hebrews 2. And verse 10. For it became him, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, he's bringing many sons into glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. So here it says, Jesus is bringing many sons unto glory. Now, he's doing that, and it's very important here to learn on this, it's through suffering. If turn to Hebrews 5, and verse 8 and 9, though he were a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. Now, we know as we live in this world, we have trials and we have suffering. And my wife was in a lot of pain this morning, and she didn't take her medicine quick enough. We see the suffering that people in this world are going through. And here it says, he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. So when we have trials and suffering, God is teaching us obedience. And he made him perfect, Jesus, for he became the author of eternal salvation unto all that obey him. Now you have to come to know that the Bible is inspired by God. I had a neighbor of mine that said she knew how God existed because he created the heavens and the earth and is mathematically perfect. So I used a little wisdom. If he created the heavens and the earth and it's mathematically perfect, he ought to be able to keep this book right. You know? Then I started believing this book has to be right. And the one reason I think that God, who we always wonder why he calls us, you think the book right. There's a reason. It's not any righteousness on you. You just think the book right. And you know why God says then? Well, Gordon, let's see if you really do believe the book is right. You know, then he showed me the Sabbath. Only took me, and the minister called on me, and then every 3 months he called back and says, you closed your business yet? Are you keeping the Sabbath? No. 3 months later, he went to Freeman's house and called me and said, hey, you keeping the Sabbath? No. Took a year before I came. So it isn't something that our carnal mind and our carnal nature wants to do. I wanted to obey God. It tells me to obey him. It tells me that's how we have eternal life and how we'll inherit the kingdom of God. But I wasn't too well at doing that. Now, turn to the main thing is, even though we suffer, in Romans it says, the suffering at this time can't be compared to the glory that's going to be revealed in it. So we got to know what that glory is. What is God's purpose? And that's what we're going to be working on here. Now, turn to verse 5 in Hebrews 2. For unto the angels he has not put in subjection the world to come. So he is telling you in that verse that this world is a subjection to angels. Lucifer, the head angel, and he is saying his angel, the demon. This world is controlled by Satan, and God allows it to be that way. But he says in verse 6, but in one certain I testified, saying, what is man? And this is David asking, well, what is a man? Why are you mindful of him? In other words, what's his purpose? So David wanted to know, what is his purpose? And then in verse 7 through 8, it says, thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, thou crowned him with glory and honor, and didst give him over the works of thy hands. So God has given this world in the works of our hands. Thou hast put all things in subjection unto his feet. For in that he put all in subjection to his feet, he left nothing that's not put under him. Well, when Carl gave that sermon 2 weeks ago, he told you we would inherit the universe. Everything is going to be put under us, the spirit beings that are take part in the kingdom of God. But now we see, not yet. It isn't happening right now. Not yet, all things are put under him. But we do see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death. He came here. He wouldn't have had to do that if he'd have took that deal that Satan made him. He could have been the king over all the earth at that time. But he wouldn't worship him. And we can't worship him. And he crowned him with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste the death for every man. Now, what glory is that? Hold your page there and let's turn to John 17. Better go back this way if I'm going to find John. In John 17, look at verse 5. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thy own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. Jesus remembered what the glory he had when he was the Word. Remember John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word was with God. Then he became flesh and blood. Jesus said he still remembers that. That's why he died and went through that so we can have that glory. He said, and now, O Father, glorify thou me with thy own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. So when we go back to Hebrews here, and it says in verse 9, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death. He was crowned with glory. He died, he was resurrected, and crowned with glory and honor, that by the grace of God he should taste death for all of us. So we see, and then we see in verse 10, he's bringing many sons to glory. This in the same glory that he had. It says he's bringing many sons to glory. And he just got through telling you that he wanted the glory back that he had with me, was with God. Now turn to Philippians and let's see what that some of that glory is. Turn to Philippians chapter 3. And this is one of the verses that I have memorized and have always known. Verse 20. For whom our conversation, and I got marked in my Bible, our citizenship is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, for the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body. So this glorious body, the purpose of God, is to change this body to be like God's glorious body. And that's why he left Satan here, and we'll see what the purpose behind that is. You don't have to turn there, but 1 John 3, 1 through 3, it says he how much he loves us. When he returns, we will be like him, for we will see him as he is. So he's telling in a number of different places, just not one place in the Bible, that we are going to have a glorified body like Jesus Christ. Now, let's turn to Genesis 1, and let's see if he gives the same message yet. By the way, it was always commented in the church, Genesis 1 is not the beginning. John 1:1 is. In the beginning was God and the Word. But in Genesis 1:1, it tells you basically the same thing if you know what the word Elohim means. Genesis 1:1, verse 1, in the beginning God, Now, Pharaoh brought out what the word God meant. It's a plural noun, like family, more than one. God created the heavens and the earth. And then he goes through verses 22 through 25, which is tell what he did on the first 6 days. This is the introductory. Then he has to get to his purpose. Look at verse 26. Here's God's purpose. And God said, now notice that, God said, let us, plural, make man in our image, plural, after our likeness, and let them be made male and female. But we're made in the image of God. So God said, let us create man. He's creating us in, to be in his kingdom. He made an animal kingdom. He made an angel kingdom. And now he's going to make a God kingdom in which we will be sent more into the family of God when he returns. Now, all the rest of the Bible is the body of God's speech. He starts out in Genesis and he tells you what his purpose is. His purpose is to transform. He's reproducing himself. His purpose is to turn you and me to have the character of God and then give us a spiritual body like God. Then the conclusion actually is in Revelation. But God is spiritual with perfect character. We're made of matter, physical, without perfect character. He wants to create that perfect character in us. In all mankind, he doesn't want any to be lost. You look at 1 Timothy 2:4, it says he desires all to be saved. And I have a young man that works for me, and 24 years old, and this comes up now and then. I said, the Bible says God wants all man to be saved. That's his purpose. I said, how's he doing? Let's look at the world. How's he doing? He's losing the battle if you believe what you believe. You know, if you believe that you go Sunday's the day you keep, and he's trying to save everybody now, he's just calling his elect, you and me. And people always say, I don't know why me, and I don't either. But I know one thing. You have to believe the Bible's correct. You have to believe the Bible's inspired. And then you have to want to obey the Bible. And if you don't do that, you're not ever going to understand it. Some churches, I don't know the name of it, don't even believe in the book of Revelation. If you don't believe in the book of Revelation, you're not going to understand the Bible. If you don't think it's literal, you're not going to understand the Bible. Now, people come up and say, well, no, it isn't literal. It gives examples at all, but it always leads. You know, if I say I'm made of iron, I'm not really iron, am I? I'm not even close to that. But you know it's not iron. They use symbols in the Bible. He wants all to be saved, but before they can be saved, God has to create in us his holy, righteous, perfect character. Now, character is provided by God. You don't have God's character. He wants to develop his character in you. Now, we must be willing to receive it. And that's why the one verse that they hear me quote all the time is Romans 12. Yeah, this body is a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to the Lord, which is your reasonable service. All God wants, we got to do is surrender. We got to obey him. We got to believe the Bible is right. And and I'm going to give you another little hint here. You never have to prove your way. I tell people this all the time. If somebody comes up and asks me, why do you keep Saturday? That's not the question. The question is, why are you keeping Sunday? Because you can't prove to them why you keep Saturday. They have a carnal mind. They can't understand it. But make them prove why they keep Sunday. Put them on the defensive. You don't have to defend everything you know. Now, I know when people give up on me when they're asking me questions, and then they say, oh, Gordon, I know we're done then, because they don't believe the Bible is literal, and they won't. Now, turn to Ephesians 4:2. Let's see how God is doing this. Ephesians 4 and verse 22. Here's what God wants you to do. Put off concerning the former conversation, the former conduct, the old man which is corrupt according to deceitful lust. Without God's Holy Spirit, God says you are corrupt. Young people that have never been baptized and don't realize this, your nature is corrupt. Mine was corrupt by deceitful lust. See, what you have to be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And then in verse 24, and you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and holiness. Now, I don't have this in my notes, but I'm going to turn to Luke 24. This is, and I'm especially doing this for the young people. In Luke 24. I always understand that, let's see, I better get on Luke 24. I always had a problem. I was reading the Bible when I was your age. I was 19 and older, and I got into 35, and I was reading the church literature. It says you can't understand it unless you have the Holy Spirit. And I didn't have the Holy Spirit, so I had a problem. Well, wait a minute. I got to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, and I can't understand it until I have the Holy Spirit. So after I was baptized, I run into this verse, and I quote it to many. Verse 24, verse chapter 24 of Luke, verse 24. And he said unto them, these words which I spoke unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. Now that's the whole Old Testament. The Old Testament is broke down into the law of the prophets and the Psalms. But listen to verse 45. Then he opened their understanding, that they might understand the Scripture. So if you are beginning to understand the Scripture, God is opening your understanding. Now, to live by that law, you have to have the Spirit of God. You can live by the letter of the law. But this really, later on, when young people would talk to me, he's opening your understanding. You're fortunate that your parents are in this church, that you understand and hear what the kingdom of God is. You know what sin is. Sin is a transgression of God's law. And breaking the Sabbath is one of them. The other churches keep 8 of the laws or 9 of the laws, but they don't keep that one. And they don't keep the other one either. You can't have any pictures of them. You got to live by the Ten Commandments. But God will open your eyes to understanding. Then you have to decide, like I did. God called, when the minister called me all the time, and took me a year to keep the Sabbath. But he finally kept working on me till I was doing it. But look at verse, we go back to Ephesians, in verse chapter 4 and verse 24. He wants you to put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Now, Mr. Armstrong always said you had to have perfect, righteous, holy character. Well, we right here, we have righteous and holy character in this one verse. You have to put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, now he gives you some things indeed. Put away lying. Speak every man with his neighbor. So he goes through verses 25 to 31. But people lie more than they think they do. I'm in business, and I have customers come in, and they said, I'll be back. You know, you're not going to be back. That's just a way to walk out. They don't have to say that. They can say, well, I haven't decided yet what I want to do. And that's the truth. But we tell little lies, and we don't even know we're telling lies. Everybody does it. We might be doing it too. So watch how you do that. Put away lying, verse 21. Speak every man the truth. What is truth? The Bible. The Bible is the truth. But be you angry not. How about how many pass this one? Don't raise hands. Be angry not and sin not. Don't let the sun go down upon your wrath. One guy that works for me, he's not religious at first day, but he told me that him and his wife will always settle any argument before they go to bed. And I said, that's what the Bible tells you to do. Did any of you go to bed and you and your wife have a disagreement? Now, with my wife, sometimes we had to, because when she got upset, she shut up. Because she would cry or get, so you just, she shut up, I shut up. You know, but then you finally solve it, and we have solved it. I've been married 61 years. I know what I do mean. So you have to learn to live and give with that. But here, you have to put on the new man. Now, let's turn to, but going down, if you're going down farther, don't steal, work, and so forth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Be careful of the joke you tell. You know, this is God's character. Verse 31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking put away from you and all malice. Read these and study them. But look at Colossians 3. And verse 4. We'll read 4 through 5 and then more. Verse 4. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, you shall also appear with him in glory. Now, if you know what that glory is that we're discussing here, you're going to appear with him in glory. You're going to put on that glorified body. You're going to be resurrected. And this vile body we change like his glorious body. This is, has to be on our mind. And this is how it helps you to overcome. If you have that on your mind, it's easier to back away and not sin because you don't want to lose that glorious body that God has promised you. Verse 5, mortify the deeds of your members upon the earth. In other words, put your all your sins to death. And then in verse 8, but now you also put off these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communications out of your mouth. Lie not one to another. The same things that were listed before in the other chapter. Lie not to one another. Put off the old man with his deeds. But look at verse 10. Put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge. And the knowledge is this Bible. And what are you going to accomplish? After the image of him that created you. So remember Genesis 1:1? You are being created. Let's create man after our image and after our likeness. So we're being created after the image. And then verse 12, therefore, as the elect of God, which is the one that we are called and we're elected and we're going to take part in the first resurrection, holy and beloved, vows of mercy. So then in verse 12, put on therefore as the elect of God, here's what you're to put on, holy, vows of mercy, kindness and humbleness. So now we're back to that holy, righteous, perfect character, that we're going to be made in the image of God. You remember in Genesis, we said the SPS was let us make man into our image, after the spiritual image, not just a spiritual body. We have to develop a spiritual mind before God will give you a spiritual body. You will not have a perfect spiritual mind, but you begin to develop God's mind. It says that by grace are you saved through faith? And that's not of yourself. That's the gift of God. What else are some of the attributes of the Spirit of God? Faith, love, patience, knowledge. All of it comes from God. God says in the book of John, you didn't call him. You didn't choose him. He chose you. None of us have done anything. God has chosen us, called us out of the world, opened our eyes, and even if it takes you a year to do it, God's just patient. He'll wait until you do it, and then he'll try you on the next one. Now, for God is created or developed in his holy, godly, righteous character in us, he had to allow Satan to tempt us and to test us. We have to go through trials and suffering. And I'll cover it in a little bit. Satan never knew what the penalties of his sin was. Neither did Adam. But we'll get to that. You are made perfect through suffering, which I brought out earlier. And he gave... Now, here's interesting. He gave us perfect, holy, righteous character. We would be robots. God wouldn't be able to show love to any real love. Now, I'm going to ask you, how would you like your mate just to be automatically love you? If I say you would, but you really don't. No real emotion, no feelings towards you. See, God wants to love you, and he wants you to be able to love him. You would just have to have a mechanical dummy loving you. And that don't matter which mate it is. The other one's going to be a mechanical dummy. So you have to be created where you can have love. Character has to be developed, and it takes time. God wants to be able to show love to his children and for his children to show real love to him. He wants to know that you will not rebel like Lucifer did. When you're made a human spirit, human being, you will not rebel, and he will know you will not. To do that, God has to create his holy, righteous character in us. He wants us to learn right from wrong, see the benefits of the right action, the penalties of the wrong. He is accomplished in this through Satan and his demon. Satan is one that weighs a carrot in front of you now. All of us will have a different carrot. Eve said she seen that tree of knowledge and evil, it was desirous. Something that make you wise and everything. It's something she wanted. Now, did Jesus Christ want to rule all the kingdoms of the world? Yeah. What did Satan wave in front of his nose? I'll give them all to you right now if you will worship me. We have to continue to worship God. He is accomplishing, developing this through Satan and his demons. By allowing us to choose, he allows Satan to tempt us. He can't make you do anything, because he will tempt us, and he'll test us, and we learn to overcome. God is creating spiritual beings out of human beings by creating his holy, righteous character in us, by putting off the old man, by putting on the new person, by changing our character. He is doing it by allowing mankind to go his own way for 6,000 years and letting Satan tempt him and test him, so he will learn that man's ways and Satan's ways are not beneficial. God's laws are for your benefit, but he does let you live in Satan's world. This world is learning every day, whether they realize it or not, what the penalties of breaking God's laws are. It has been written in history. It's been written now and in the future. And right now, all you got to do is turn the TV on, and you'll see all the problems going wrong with the United States. And I tell this young guy to work for me, even though I wasn't religious when I was young, I knew it was wrong to lie. If you was divorced and remarried, you couldn't become president. You might lose your job. If the laws were there, and I knew what was wrong, I did wrong. And this one he gets amazed about. When I was in junior high, there was a little book about this big, with pages in it. And it was called an honor book. You could open it up, and it showed things between men and women. Now, I knew this was being shown downstairs in junior high. One day, I decided to go. And I went down and looking at it, and they caught it. You know what they did? They took me to jail. You could turn TV on and see worse than what I seen it. The difference in when I look at things, I can look at how it was in my time and how it slowly got worse and worse and worse till now God has taken his hedge away from us. This world is going down the drain. At this present time, God is allowing Satan to be used as his instrument in blinding the world, so the lessons of mankind will be so firmly and completely etched in his own mind that never again will there be a society existing in total rebellion against God. You're not going to become a spirit being if you're going to rebel against God. He's going to be sure that you don't do that. God is the one who has concluded that. Turn to Romans 11:32. For God has concluded them all in unbelief, everybody, that he might have mercy upon all. God wants to save all mankind. And I look back and wonder, why did I ever try to convert anybody? God's got a plan to save all mankind. He's got a plan to save my wife. He's got a plan to save my children. Why do I want to interfere with it? You know, and I did interfere with it. But I got divorced, too. And I decided, well, I learned what I teach to all of you. Shut up. And I have one here in the audience, a guy come up and asked me questions. He went to Darius. He said, Darius, his wife's not in the church. Who do I talk to? He said, go talk to Gordon. So he talked to me, and I might have told you about this, but I still remember. About 6 months later, he said, you know what the first two words you told me? Shut up. And don't try and convert your wife. Don't try and convert anybody. You convert yourself. That's who you have to use. And you do that. You don't. You give this body as a living sacrifice. You surrender to God's will. But in Romans 11:32, God has concluded everybody is in unbelief. Now, why? So that he might have mercy upon all. He wants all of us to realize it's only by his mercy that you're here. It's only by his calling. Can't come to Jesus unless God called you. Jesus said in John, you didn't call me. You didn't choose me. I chose you. So we're strictly, everything's up to God. He wants all mankind to know that the only way they could ever have eternal life is to be born into the kingdom of God is because of his mercy. Not anything that you have done or I have done. But God didn't call you for your righteousness. He called you because he thought the Bible was right. And then he said, we'll test. And he's tested a few that thought the Bible was right, and they left, and they don't think so. Now, look at verse 30. In the times past, you have not believed God, yet you have now attained mercy through their unbelief. We're attaining mercy because of the unbelief of Israel. But look in verse 31. Even so have these also now not believed, that through your mercy they may obtain mercy. So we are learning through God's mercy and giving us his mercy, that the rest of the world, when they'll be saved, it'll be through our mercy. And we will have mercy in the proper judgment. Now, don't turn to here, but 2 Peter 3:9, he is not willing, again, that any should perish, but that all should finally come to repentance. God's got a plan for everybody, that a lot of people can't do it. Right now, we are to surrender to God's will. Now, that's why his plan included a 1,000-year reign on this earth, to create a utopian atmosphere and society. And when the last great day comes, when the rest of the dead will be resurrected and given the opportunity to reach salvation, they will have lived in a society ruled by Satan. And when my parents are resurrected and so forth, they will be able to live in a society ruled by God. 1,000 years. Perfect society. I tell my dad, go down. Remember what we used to call that? White River. Go look at it. White. Never been white my time. You know. Show them. And here's all the penalties. So this will, they will see the difference, and they'll be able to choose. They will be judged and condemned and offered salvation. But with my dad and they're brought up, I will tell him what the sins are, and I'm going to judge them. God will be with God. I'm going to say, here's the sins, and here's the penalty. The penalty is death, eternal death, that you'll never be resurrected again. But you can have salvation. See, right now, we're being judged. But we're going to have salvation. We're being judged. We're told what the condemnation is. We're told what salvation is. And we chose the salvation. See, they will have to be judged and condemned, and they'll be offered salvation by the blood of Jesus. Same as us. We're being judged now, and we're being condemned. And if that is Christ, we're being offered salvation. Everybody will have to be. A perfect utopia alone will not cause you to follow God's law. Unless you see the penalties of sin, it won't develop God's character in you. It takes trials and suffering. And I'm just going to read these to you. Ezekiel 28:12-13. They're talking about Satan. Thou sealest up the sun full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Satan had all the wisdom and perfect in beauty. He'd been in the Garden of Eden. Every precious stone was the covering, the diamond, the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, and the gold. I mean, he was beautiful. Now, some of you young people that think you're handsome or beautiful, you've got a bigger problem than I have. But even if you are, God finally takes what you got away, and he'll make you old. And then all the beauty and everything won't make any difference. It'll just be the character. Every precious stone. Then he even said, even the music was prepared in thee the day that thou wast created. So Satan was created. And in verse 14 of 28, he was an anointed cherub that covereth. If we turn, I don't turn there, but in Exodus 25:20, it says the cherubim shall stretch their wings over the mercy seat, and with their wings they was upon the holy mountain. Satan was one of those cherubs. He was in the number one position under God and Jesus. And he wasn't satisfied. He had to have more. Ezekiel 28:15. There, thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day thou was created till iniquity was found in thee. Verse 16, and they sin. 2 Peter 2:4, angels sin. Therefore, he said, I will cast thee out of the mountain of God. There's Satan. Well, at that time he was Lucifer. And I will render you powerless, O covering cherub. Lucifer. He didn't know the penalties of what sin was. And he wanted to be God. In verse 17, thy heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou wast corrupt thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of your brightness. So whatever you think your qualities are, you don't want to get corrupt. Satan was beautiful, and he was beautiful. He corrupted his wisdom by his brightness. He had everything he could possibly want. He had wisdom, position. He was over the mercy seat, and he still sinned. Now, he wanted the next position. In Isaiah 14, write it down, 12 through 14, verse 13 says, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne. So, Satan has a throne here on earth. I'm going to exalt my throne above the stars of God. If you look in the book of Revelation, the stars refers to angels. He wants to be above the angels of God. In verse 14, he says, I will ascend above the clouds, I will be like the Most High. He's in the number one position. He was given the earth, but the third of them, and he still wasn't happy. You can see why Satan is so upset now. God is going to give mankind the position he wanted. So Satan doesn't like that, and the demons don't like it. We will be born into the family of God, and we'll be like God, we'll have a glorious body. Now, Adam and Eve had it all, utopia. They still see it. Eve was offered the Holy Spirit. Everything was perfect. So if you young people think, well, being perfect is going to make you not to sin, well, Adam, everything was perfect. And God said, don't eat of that tree. But he looked at it, and it was desirous. Was it desirous for sake for Jesus when he offered God? Satan offered him all the kingdoms of the world right now. He tempted him on the thing that he was offered, but he'd have to suffer to receive. Satan will tempt every one of us in the trials that we want. Then in the Garden of Eden, Satan told Eve, he wouldn't die. Immortal soul. The same lie that's being told in all religions today, that you've got an immortal soul. If you eat of that truth, of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall be as God, which it says in Genesis. He told them, you're going to be as God. Eat of that tree. You'll have an immortal soul, and you'll be as God. So she wanted it now. But God had already told her about the Holy Spirit and waiting until it comes. But they can't wait. So Satan knew God was creating a God kingdom for mankind. Satan was offering it to them now, or at least they thought he was. But I want, here's the point. A perfect society or condition doesn't develop holy, righteous, perfect. That is developed because when I didn't want to close my business, you know, everybody told me closing your business on Saturday is business suicide. And I'm the only one still left. So it wasn't business suicide. Now, right now, business isn't the greatest in this world, even though they keep saying it. It really isn't. It didn't help. A perfect society and condition doesn't develop righteous character. It didn't do it in Lucifer. And it didn't do it in Adam and Eve. They had it perfect and didn't. But living in Satan's world and see all the evil and all the suffering that this world has and is going through because of sin helps us to become sick of this world's way, helps us to want to come out of this world. Now, we lived, and I used to wonder how did Mr. Armstrong know all these things were going back? In 1950, the United States and Great Britain own 2/3 of all the wealth in the world. Now we're the largest debtor. And I kept wondering, I look around, of course I lived in a really good society. I lived in Anderson, Indiana, 14 General Motors plants. Everybody was making good money, but they're all gone. But the point is, we lived in the most, my age has really lived in the best time that this country's ever lived. And as it's going downhill. But if we, living in Satan's world, if we see the suffering that this world is going through because of sin, and it's really going through it now, helps us to become sick of this world's way. Oh, by the way, do you know who the leading nation in the world is now? You know what happened this week? China just went around. China is the number one leading nation of the world. America's number two. Do you know who's going to end up being the leading nation of the world? Germany and the 10 nation empire. Now, I've got a financial letter that constantly tells me that China, he'd been telling me for years that China is going to be the one that takes away our currency, it's going to be the big guy. And I know it isn't. It just took over number one. We just went number two. And I think we've been number one since, how did I pronounce that? Euphelius Grant was president. We've been number one. But this week, been number two. This nation's going down the drain. But the final nation, if you understand prophecy, is the 10-nation European empire, and Germany's going to be leading. That's going to be the number one. So if you understand prophecy, and the purpose of prophecy is to build your faith. It won't save you. I love prophecy. I studied it. I teach it. But prophecy helps me. When I see these things happening, I know that the world, this book is about. Because God told me what's going to happen in the future. And I can just sit and wait, see if it happens. So in Satan's world, we see all the evil, all the suffering that has going on because of sin. Should help us to become sick of this world's way and help us to want to come out of this world. It helps us to want to put off the old man, that we have put on the new man, which is being created in us. God's still creating. He didn't just stop in Genesis 1. God is still creating in us the image of God. We might have the character and the righteousness and true holiness through the power of God's Holy Spirit.